Thank you for joining me for another UnleashingFreedom.com podcast. This is Richard Wells. Join or die. It's been taught that the principles of success or wealth creation require three key ingredients. First, the ability to see long-term or have a clear vision. Second, the discipline of delayed gratification. And third, the power of compounding. While it appears that many people burst onto the scene of success and wealth in a flash of brilliance, what is not seen are these three ingredients at work in various forms for years prior to that moment. The famous 18th century painter Katsushika Hokusai put it this way: "From the age of 6 I could draw forms and objects. By 50 I had turned out an infinite number of drawings. But I'm not happy about anything I did before 70. Only at 73 did I begin to understand the true form of nature and birds, fish, and plants. By 80, I had made a lot of progress." Benjamin Franklin put it this way: "Energy and persistence conquers all things." His life truly exemplifies this statement. Taken as a whole, he accomplished incredible things, almost a superhuman list. But taken individually, one can see a story of vision, time management, persistence, and compounding. As an example, let's take a look at one concept Franklin set his mind to way back in 1753 as the French launched a campaign to explore and establish forts along the Ohio River on the western frontier of the British colonies in America. Franklin considered these actions a threat to his beloved Pennsylvania and Great Britain itself. As such, he realized the necessity of unifying these separate colonies into a body that could act as one. In 1754, Franklin's newspaper, the Pennsylvania Gazette, published America's first political cartoon, the famous snake cut into 8 parts representing the colonial regions with the caption, "Join or Die." Probably designed by Franklin himself, this image would be used in the Revolution and is still seen on flags, banners, and publishings throughout America today. Franklin's idea was to have one legislative body with representatives from the different colonies that could make decisions together as one body politic, thus allowing the colonies to organize their own defense against the French. Franklin sought the approval and unity from Britain, for he viewed himself as a loyal British subject. The Crown and Parliament, however, would not grant the colonials a vote on representation in this Grand Council of the Colonies. In a letter to Governor Shirley of Massachusetts, Franklin expressed his disapproval. "Excluding the people of the colonies from all share in the choice of the Grand Council will give extreme dissatisfaction, as well as the taxing them by act of Parliament, where they have no representative. That compelling the colonies to pay money for this war without their consent would be rather like raising contributions in an enemy's country than taxing of Englishmen for their own public benefit." Franklin had no interest in revolution at the time, but was trying to lay a case for the Crown to make the colonials united as equal subjects to those in England. In the end, this impasse and the expedience of dealing with the war killed the idea. Politics being what they are, Franklin and others with similar proposals were disappointed to see British troops shipped in to fight the French and Indian War instead of locally organized force of colonials. Had Franklin's plan succeeded at that time, however, it's quite possible that the United States of America would not exist today, and the advancement of worldwide freedom could still be quite stifled. Instead, almost providentially, he had to delay his gratification. Thus, a young 22-year-old George Washington was commissioned as a colonel in the British military and gained valuable field experience in combat, and was able to season another 20 years before America would call on him to lead the American Revolution. Further, the French and Indian War created an environment where the British began taxing the colonies without representation, and they started quartering troops in colonial homes. Men like Thomas Jefferson were given time to complete their studies, practice law, and enter into the political scene. Franklin himself, who wanted unity within the colonies and unity with the Crown, would spend years in England softening English sentiment toward the colonies in his appointed attempt to allow more autonomy for Pennsylvania assemblies to tax landholders there. In the process of fighting this battle in England, he again used the press to change thinking. In short, he published more than 90 articles in English papers under 42 pseudonyms. He also published a book with his own money titled A Historical Review of the Constitution and Government of Pennsylvania. His works had a compounding impact upon many in England in regard to British affairs in America. This certainly impacted the support or lack thereof of British control in that region years later at the conclusion of the Revolution. These events and many others prepared America to seek and win independence. Had Franklin's original vision won the day before the French and Indian War, the events that ultimately freed a nation may not have occurred. Franklin, however, adjusted again and again with the changing current affairs, but he kept his vision on a more unified America. Eventually, he even adjusted so far that he abandoned his loyalty to Britain in order to create freedom and unity in America. Now, Franklin's originally conceived ideas of unity would end up taking nearly 40 years to be realized. And he definitely had his hand in the process perhaps more than any other single individual during all those years. Because he had a long-term vision, delayed gratification, and allowed the power of compounding to work for him, not rushing that which could not be rushed, but constantly influencing individuals and public thought over the years, he helped achieve the impossible and put freedom in motion in a way the world had never seen. Wow. I mean, it gives one reason to pause and consider what great things lie ahead for those of us who follow the same principles. Remember, the first step to creating your legacy is vision. And if the legacy of freedom is to be passed on to the next generation, we must see it clearly in spite of current obstacles. Remember, we must join together in the common vision of a bright future, or it will die on our watch. Join or die. Still remains true today, Mr. Franklin. Thank you for your vision. I can still see it.
Thank you for joining us on this podcast today. Please visit unleashingfreedom.com for personal applications and hear more podcasts.